respond when people oppose us for the sake of the truth that we speak? Do we forsake them in retaliation? Do we respond in kind, attacking them as they have attacked us? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This ministry is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim speaks to us about just how we are to treat people when they are walking away from God, when they attack us for the truth. This powerful message is a timely one, so sit back and join us as we hear the light of the Word.
The faithfulness of us as Christians is important. But you know that not one person is going to come to this knowledge, not one person is going to be able to hear this until God has given them ears to hear it, right? It takes the movement of God by His Holy Spirit upon the person. And it appears to me that God was moving in the Galatian churches because people were coming to Him in faith. And it was both Jew and Gentile. There was more Gentile than Jew, but there was both Jew and Gentile coming to Him in faith in these churches because of what He did in them using the witness of Paul. And they loved on Paul, no matter how difficult his ailment was. But receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. They loved on Paul because he brought them the word. You know, Paul later on in this text, in verse 19, he says, "My little children." Paul became as a earthly example or father to them in the word of God. Because he led them to be born again because of what God did through them and him in his preaching. In fact, they received him not only as an angel of God, but even as if he was Christ himself. Folks, those of you who are here and who are saved, do you remember the blessedness, the excitement, the joy of knowing Christ? Because if you are his, you do remember it. Some people remember the exact second when their eyes opened and their ears opened and they saw and knew who he was. Some people don't remember the exact second, but they remember the joy that was flooded on them because of it. This world would like to burden you and take away that joy. This world would like to burden you and rob you of any blessedness of Christ, even if you belong to him. Belonging to him does not stop the enemy from attacking you. If I was Vody Bakum, I'd say, if you can't say amen, then say ouch. Because the devil will continue to attack. He wants your witness. He does not want anyone else to have those things that Paul was preaching that revealed by faith alone, by grace alone. And so, this world will attack it and tear it down. And many a person has been shut up because they were afraid to open their mouth again because of the attacks. I remember when I was in high school, I know you probably think I was just a sweet guy all my life, but I remember getting into a fight, if you can imagine. In fact, I remember it was me against about 9 guys. And one of my friends decided to step in and help me. And then he got punched in the mouth and he decided he would watch. But that seems to be a better choice. Folks, that's what the devil wants to do to you. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to punch you in the mouth so that you will sit back and watch. And for so many, it works. You're not sharing the word. You're not being a witness. You are closed off, isolated, and away from the people who need to hear the message. In verse 15, Paul says, "What then has become of your blessedness? What has become of your joy? Those blessings that you received because of hearing Christ." And he goes on to say, "For I testify to you," this is the love that they showed him, "if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me." The love that they showed him was that they were willing to sacrifice for him whatever they could to help him. To help him heal and to help him continue to share the word. And the reason they were willing to do this was because of the great blessing of Christ on them. Some say that this is a saying of the time to show how dedicated someone is or how much they're willing to sacrifice. Some think that maybe he says this because his eyes were part of the ailment that he had. But either way, it doesn't really matter, does it? The important thing here is he realized that their love was so full that they would sacrifice something as important as their eyes for him. That's a love, isn't it? Look at Paul change his tone a little bit here. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? You who is willing to sacrifice for me because of the joy of the Spirit, am I now your enemy? Different circumstances, but I can tell you that Cynthia and I have experienced this many times over. I've been around Rodney and Teresa long enough to know so have they. Where somebody has come in and they loved the Word of God. They loved what was going on. They loved hearing the truth. And then all of a sudden the truth stepped on their toes. You know what happened? You would have thought that we had gone up against them as their enemies. I think of one man in particular. Early on, we were still in Manhattan. He and I had gone to Topeka on a deal one day and just really had a great day. And I really enjoyed time with him. And we get back and that Sunday comes around. He acts a little funny. Next week comes and he's acting even stranger. And then he starts talking behind the scenes to cause trouble. I go out to this man's house and I sit down with him and his wife and ask what's going on and what is taking place and just flat told him that we cannot have this, that we needed him to add to the church and not take away from the church. I left his house. By the time I got home, I was already getting phone calls from people in the church. He had called everyone his phone number he had and told them that I said he had to leave the church. So he did leave the church. Went to another church, and a year later, that church closed down, and the pastor there said it was because of this man coming to their church. Folks, there are those who are after their own purposes, and sometimes it's very difficult to tell who. And Paul's asking these people, people he had loved on and who had loved on him, have I become your enemy? And why would he become their enemy? For telling them the truth. The truth is something that people only like when it benefits them, unless they belong to Christ. There's another man I think of. He started coming here, and I would hear people tell me, oh, well, this man says that we should come to your church because you always preach the truth. And then one day, he didn't like the truth that I preached. And from that moment on, there was a division. Folks, this isn't just something that happened to Paul and to me. This is what happens when we stand by the truth day in and day out. People you love, people you take care of, people who have taken care of you will act like your enemies because it is our human nature to want what we want. It is our human nature. We did not have to teach any of our children to be selfish with their toys and to take them away from somebody else that was playing with them. But every one of our children learned to do that on their own. What we had to do is teach them the other side of it. And this truth that Paul is telling them, what is the truth? It's the same truth that led them to Christ to begin with. That it is by faith alone, in grace alone, that you are saved. That's it. And let me just say, that is one of the most unpopular things in church today. Every church will say, yes, they agree with that. But when you start to break that down, when you break down what it means by faith alone, in grace alone, people don't like it. Because people think that God needs them. That is a common theology in American churches, that God needs them. There are those who would even teach it to the extent to say that that's why God created man, is because he needed somebody, when that is a lie. God never needed man. He chose to love man and to create man for his own purposes. But it was never out of some lacking that he had. But we don't teach truth in church. And it's not just today. I often say in the American church, But folks, this was first century Middle East church. This was first century. People were coming in behind Paul. They were coming in behind Peter and John. If you read through the epistles of John, you'll see John talking about how there are those in the church that are rejecting him, even John the apostle. Remember how John describes himself? The apostle that Jesus loved. It might sound prideful, but it's also true. Jesus loved John. John was part of that most intimate group with Jesus. And there were those who called themselves Christian within the church who opposed John. In this case, it is those Judaizers that had come in and had to add something to faith. Verse 17, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want you shut out. In fact, he says, they want that you would make much of them. See, there's a couple things that took place here. Those Judaizers wanted to be important. So they came in behind Paul and wanted to take the love that was for Paul and take the love that was for Christ in these Galatians, and they wanted it heaped upon themselves. So to do so, they came at the Galatians, shall we say, with a lie of flattery. Verse 17, they make much of you. They make you feel good for their own purpose. I remember when I was in the third grade, Mrs. Valine was a teacher that several of my uncles had in Manhattan. Mrs. Valine, she read us a book called Charlotte's Web. Remember that book? Oh, you remember the movie, right? She read us Charlotte's Web in there. And think about what the farmer did with Wilbur and why he needed Charlotte. The farmer made much of Wilbur. He gave him a nice place and lots of food. Lots and lots of food. Did he do that because he wanted Wilbur to be around a long time and happy? He was fattening him up for the kill, wasn't he? I mean, that's what it was. And that's why Wilbur needed Charlotte to put that stuff in her web. Folks, there are those who will come and they will flatter you and they will do things to fatten you up for the kill so that they can have on themselves the praise, so that they can make much of themselves through you. Or as Paul puts it, for no good purpose. It was an evil purpose that they came. And if you read through this epistle, Paul pretty much believed that they knew it was an evil thing that they were doing because they desired themselves so much. They were so proud of themselves and they wanted to be made much of. They wanted to be worshipped so much that they went in to add to so that they would become the ones the Galatian church looked to. And for many, it worked. In the 1500s, 1600s, the church was doing this. It was having everything point to them. And then we had the Reformation. Now, the Reformers all didn't 100% agree on things, but they agreed on the foundation of what is taught in Scripture. And these reformers, by God's grace and by God's will, changed the direction of the church. And it was no longer about the Roman church, but about the church of God. And they began down a path of doing what is right before God according to His word. And then came that age's Judaizers. And they started to change the foundation. They started to add to God's word. In our video that we watched the other night, he used the word synergy or synergism. That's the working together. That became a theology within the church that God needed your help for you to be saved. That salvation was man going so far and God going so far, and they come together. Last week I was sharing the story of Peter walking on the water. And when Peter began to sink, did he go so far much further when he called out to Christ? No, Christ came all the way to him. And that's how salvation is. Christ comes to us. with salvation. Why? Because it's His will and His desire. Second part of verse 17, they want to shut you out that you may make much of them. They want to shut you out of what? What is it that these Judaizers want to shut them out of? Matthew 23 and verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow these who would enter to go in. Or Philippians. I'm going to read verse 15 and then 17 and 18 of chapter 1. Some indeed preach Christ with envy and rivalry, but others with goodwill. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. In Colossians, Paul tells the church, therefore, this is Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. These Judaizers were going to hell, and they wanted to take everyone with them that they could. Folks, there's people today that know this. There's people today that know they're going to hell, and to put it in their terms, they want to have a party with all their friends in hell. You know what the party is? Eternal punishment. Darkness, gnashing of teeth, and anguish. That's the party of hell. Verse 18 says, it is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. There's nothing wrong with praising somebody if it's for the glory of God. But when the purpose is their destruction and yours, it's of no value. Paul says that I need to do this with you, not only when I'm there, but even when I'm away. Now, I'm running out of time, so I want to get in these last two verses. My little children, for who I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. In this room, there's a few women who have had babies, right? Will you have the same baby twice? That's what Paul's saying here. He says, it's like I'm having the same child twice. I'm going through the anguish of your salvation, of your being born again. I'm going through all those labor pains because you have allowed yourself to be taken astray. My little children. That's how Paul saw them. He saw them as his children that God had given him to raise up in the Lord. And what has really happened here is Paul is brokenhearted for these people. He has that kind of love for them. He didn't look at them and say, I tried. What else can I do? If you want to be lost, be lost. No. Paul is brokenhearted and he is in anguish and he is attempting to fight for them. Any preacher, in fact, any Christian who shares God's word, who leads people to Christ, feels this way when they feel like that God has led somebody and saved somebody, and then they turn around and they're walking away from God instead of to God. There's a brokenheartedness that happens in you, isn't there? Because if you are a Christian who shares God's word, this has happened to you. Somebody you thought that God had used you to help lead to Him, to pull to Him, turned around and started walking away. Sometimes it's people in our church. Sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's family members. But Paul says that he is willing to continue in that pain, in that agony, until Christ is formed in them. Or in other words, until it is clear that they belong to Jesus Christ. Paul is ready and willing to fight for them until they can stand on their own. You know, think back to when we had our children, and they start crawling. There was a few face plants, you know. They'd go down, for especially Jimmy. He has a big head. Boom. But then they start to try to walk. And you stand them up, and they take a step, and plump. But we're excited. They took a step, right? And so Cynthia and I get on each side, and we're, okay, come. And there's maybe a step and a half, and plunk. And we're even more excited. And then that day that they walk from one to the other, it's a joy. But we've had to take the time to work with them to get them there. The Christian walk. Folks, we get excited when somebody has come to Christ, especially if God has allowed us to be a part of that, and they start to take steps in walking after Christ. I have a little niece that has a disease called muscular atrophy. And she was a little tiny baby. We didn't see anything, did we? Didn't notice. She'd get in her walker. Boy, she could cruise in that walker. But then her legs started working less and less and less because of this atrophy. Her mom, my sister Lisa, took her in and they did all these tests and they came up with this diagnosis. And my sister was brokenhearted. Can you imagine? This little girl who didn't see anything wrong with was never going to walk. In fact, the cruising that she did in the walker was now history. It wasn't going to happen anymore. It's brokenhearted. Folks, but you know, if my niece knows Jesus Christ, she not only will walk, but she will fly. If she knows Christ. But when it comes to the spiritual, if you see somebody taking some steps, and then all of a sudden, spiritually, they atrophy, and they no longer follow after Christ, it's broken, a broken heart for sure. But this is eternal. What my niece has is temporal. It's only for this lifetime. I'm talking eternal. Never change. So this is where Paul's at. This is the anguish. Because I wish I could be present with you and change my tone. Or in other words, that he could be more loving, but he's being stern. And he closes this with, "For I am perplexed about you." Outside of telling you these truths, I don't know what else to do. Folks, sometimes we get to that point with people, don't we? We love them. We have seen movement to Christ and movement away from Christ. And we get to a place where we don't know what else to do. But there's only one thing we can do, isn't there? And that's to leave them in the hands of Jesus Christ. Because you and I can't change them. We can love them and point them, and Christ can change them. So we trust him. I'm not saying that you stop trying, but you don't. Paul says, "I'm going to stay in anguish until Christ is formed in you." And I could just kind of tag on to what he's really saying. Until I either see Christ in you or you die, I'm going to stay in anguish for you. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to be brokenhearted that you're not going the right way. Until either I see Christ in you or you die. Is that how we feel about people? I hope so. Because if we don't, we're missing love somewhere. If we do not feel that way about anybody, we're missing love of Christ in us. And we are fooling ourselves. I'm going to close with this. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision for what is natural to man, but put on Jesus Christ and do what is right before God for your own blessedness, your own joy, your own satisfaction, and your own eternity. Please stand with me. As you stand, I wanted to read you a piece out of this commentary of John MacArthur's. He said, "The prostitute came to our church one day looking for help. She was quite successful financially, but was plagued by tremendous feelings of guilt and anxiety. She drank heavily, took drugs, and realized that her life was a mess. When I explained the gospel to her and assured her that God was eager to forgive her her sins and give her a new life, if she trusted Jesus Christ, she expressed great interest. During the course of our conversation, she told me of a little book in which she kept the names and phone numbers of her customers. I suggested that she take the book and burn it right then as a symbol of her repentance and renunciation of her old life. But she balked at the very idea, saying, 'I can't do that. Those names are worth thousands of dollars. I guess I don't want Jesus as much as I thought I did.'" Folks, we may not say it that way, but that's what we're saying. When we aren't willing to give up this world and the things of this world, Christ. Lord God, as we close this service, I pray, Father, that you have been made much of. I pray that you have been seen and known by those who are here. I pray, Lord, that for those who belong to you, we would not stop when somebody is led astray, but we would continue to point them to you in love. Yes, sometimes sternly, but in love. And I pray, Father, for those who are here who do not know you, that they would find that they do want you more than anything else, and that they would turn away from their sins and repent and follow after you by faith alone and grace alone. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.
It can be so difficult to leave someone in the hand of God, but sometimes that's just what we have to do. Be sure that when you reach that point, you don't ever stop loving them, for God's offer of mercy is still open. And if you've walked away, please know that His offer of mercy is still open to you today. Jesus is worth the loss of all things, and He is more precious than anything you might be called to surrender. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we would like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. We just celebrated Independence Day, the birthday of our great nation. And I got to tell you, I'm concerned for this nation. Those things that we once stood for, we don't seem to stand for anymore. Those things that were once important to us seem to be gone. And it brings to mind what happened in Israel time after time. And I came across this scripture in my studies this week and just thought I would share it with you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We actually have a tapestry with this hanging out in our foyer of the church. But it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, friends, our land is in need of being healed. Our land is in need of those who belong to Him, those who are His people, called by His name. We need to get to our knees, and we need to humble ourselves. We need to seek His face, and we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to repent of our sin. All of us, we are a sinful people, but we are the ones who need to turn. We are the ones who need to call on Him. We are the ones responsible for the direction of this nation. So I'm asking you, call on God. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from our wicked ways, and He will heal our land. Oh, what a great need there is for Him to heal this land. Friends, I pray that you will seek God out, and that you will seek out His truth and not be fooled by all the imitation out there. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.